Hello, how's everyone doing this morning? Good. It's great to be back again here at Liberty Church. This is such an exciting weekend. We've waited for this weekend for quite some time now. As we're with you here at Liberty this morning, your senior leader, Noel, and his wife, Sharon, are actually at our home church in Texas this weekend, and in just a few hours, because they're they're a few hours behind, 6 hours behind. So Noel will be bringing the word near Houston, Texas this morning. And we were woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning from one of our friends who sent a picture message over to us of him doing a leaders gathering last night at our church in Texas. So it's a very exciting time. We've been here. My wife and I have been back in Ireland for about 4 months, and it's an exciting time working alongside Liberty Church and getting a ministry started in the north. And it's just such a privilege to work alongside this church and get to know Noel and Sharon and Rob and Patrice and all the team here at your various locations. So, I was going to say something else before I started. what I wanted to share this morning was just I think all of us in our lives go through various tests and trials. I think it's true to say that if we're all really honest, we all go through times of frustration, times of confusion, times that we question God sometimes, just times there's times we go through because of the nature of the world that we live in, that there's illness or just various trials. And for me in my own life, it's just been really helpful and really strengthening in my life to take a fresh look at who God is regularly, to get a fresh look at who God is and what his plan is for our lives. And just to dive deeper into the knowledge of God and the revelation of his nature and his personality, the beauty of God, and the God that loves us, and the God that is glorious, and the God who we have placed our lives in his hands, and he's in control of our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1? Let's just pray before we read this. Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you that you are here, and that you care about every single person in this room. That you care about everything that goes on in our lives, and that you're doing something with us, and there's a reason and a purpose why we live. And so, Father, I just ask you this morning, as we look at some scripture and as we just look your word for a little while, that you would just give us a fresh perspective. Just ask you that you would open our eyes to see a fresh glimpse of you, that you would lift the veil and let us see you again in your beauty. Father, let us go from this place this morning just blown away once again at who you are, just in awe of your greatness and your goodness. So we welcome you here. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come and move upon our hearts, and let your word pierce our hearts and go deep. In Jesus' name. So if you have your Bible, sir, we'll start reading at Revelation 1 and verse 12. It says, then I turned to see. This is the John the Apostle. It's about 50 or 60 years after the death of Christ. And I think this is amazing. What I love about this passage and the book of Revelation is this is the same John the Apostle that was so intimate with Jesus. He called himself in his own gospel the one that Jesus loved, and he's the one that at the Last Supper lay back against Jesus, against his chest, and was known to be so intimate. And yet, in the book of Revelation, we see that he presents God in such a glorious way. And so point one here is God in his majesty. Starting to read at verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. So this John reclined on the breast of Jesus at the Last Supper. 50 years later, he's getting this vision of Jesus seated upon the throne in heaven, and he's saying, "When I saw him, I fell as a dead man." But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." If you skip over just to a couple of chapters to chapter 4, just read a couple of verses there, and starting in verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So this is at least for me, this is not generally how I picture God, until I kind of go back to these passages in the Bible and remind myself of who he really is. But it's so supernatural who he really is. He really is a holy God. He really is set apart in beauty and in majesty. Picture him, the one that it talks about, his hair white as wool, his eyes like flames of fire. That's the God that is here in this room this morning. That's the God who the Bible says he's come to live on the inside of us. It talks about him as a jasper and a sardius stone. Jasper was like a diamond, a clear stone representing the purity of God. Sardius was like a red stone representing the passion of God. It said there's around the throne there's an emerald, which is green, representing the mercy of God. From the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. I love to sit at home in my own time with God and just picture what this looks like. Just absolutely love to do that. Just picturing the colors and the sounds and the thunder and the voices around the throne. And it's just absolutely amazing. In my own life, I often get caught up in the mindset of the stage of life. You know, we get into, that place in life where we just get bogged down with the just whatever's going on, whatever we're going through. And for me, happens me a lot, and I forget the big picture of who God is and what really is happening in this world, the whole reason that he created us, and the whole the eternal storyline that we get to that's unfolding before us and we get to be a part of. And so it really just helps me to take passages like this and meditate on them and just picture who God is and just ask him, God, give me a fresh glimpse of your beauty and a fresh glimpse of your glory. He is a sovereign God who will fulfill his purpose and plan in you no matter what. He is a warrior God who fights for you and fights to make sure his kingdom will come and his will be done. He is a holy God who is set apart in all his ways, and all his ways are perfect. He's the all-powerful Almighty who speaks to the storm and it is still. Here's a few things that the psalmist David said concerning the beauty of God. He said, the mountains melt like wax at his presence. Psalm 29, it says, the voice of the Lord thunders. His voice is the sound of many waters. His voice makes the deer give birth. Just love this stuff. Here's what he thinks concerning his enemies. Here's what the God over your enemies, over your season, over your struggle says. He sits in the heavens and he laughs. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies. For Hebrews says, our God is a consuming fire. And picture this with me. He dwells in unapproachable light, and in his light we see light. Can you imagine what kind of brightness of a light that is if it says, in his light we see light? Makes me feel like David in the Psalms that cried out to God, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord who's mighty in battle. Don't you want a fresh glimpse of God? Don't you want to live in that place of being fascinated by his beauty and his majesty? Throughout the Old Testament, it refers to God, one of the names that refers to God often is as the Lord of hosts. And that means he's the commander of the armies of heaven. I love to read about him in that way, and in the book of Revelation as well, when it talks about him returning on that white horse. And it's just amazing. So I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're in this place this morning of feeling hopeless, or you're at a place this morning of just bored with life or tired of the struggle or whatever it is you're going through, I just want to encourage you this morning to remember who our God is, the God that we serve, God that we're living for. To meditate on his greatness and just regularly to praise him for that, praise him for who he is. And we know, and I know you guys have been taught here the power of praise to drive out the enemy. And so point two, God in his tenderness. He is a perfect father who cares for you. He is a loving God who loves you unconditionally and wants good things for you. He is an intimate God who knows every detail of your life. He is a faithful Father who will never abandon you, and every promise will be fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking and he he talks about the value of even the sparrows, the birds of the air, before God. Not one of them falls to the ground without the Father knowing. And then he says, how much more value are you than the sparrows? And then he says, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. That's how much he knows you. And that's how valuable that you are to him. John said it this way, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. One of my favorite one of my favorite verses in the Bible, surprisingly, it's an Old Testament one. My wife likes to pick on me that I don't read the Old Testament very often. We're very different, and I think that's how God kind of does things most of the time. But pretty much every time we're doing our quiet time, my wife's got the Old Testament open, and she's reading away in Isaiah or Hosea or one of these books, and she's got her journal out in front of her, and she's scribbling all over it. And I've got some of Paul's letters or the Gospels, and you know, I'm typing something on my phone, and we're just so different. But actually, one of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from the book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament. It says in Zephaniah 3:17, I was brought up in church, and I remember going to a youth conference when I was probably about 14 years old up in Belfast, and guys from Soul Survivor in England had come over, and I remember he quoted this verse, and before he quoted it, he said, does anyone know if there's a book in the Bible called Zephaniah? And about half the people raised their hands, and half the people didn't know whether to raise their hands because they didn't know if it was a trick question. And I honestly, it was the first time I'd ever heard of the book of Zephaniah. I was brought up Baptist, and so, you know, knew the word quite well. And so anyway, Zephaniah 3:17, here's what it says. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Love to picture this. The God that rejoices over us. The God that smiles over us. It in the original Hebrew language, that word rejoice is talking about to dance and to spin. So can you picture this God who sits on the throne, who's so glorious, who's so holy, and the God that talks about his eyes are like a flame of fire, and he dwells in unapproachable light, and yet he dances over you, he spins over you, he sings and rejoices over you. That's the God that we serve, so glorious. And yet such a loving Father, you know, so holy and so set apart, and yet so intimate and tender. That's our God. That's our God. What I found in my own life again is I have a tendency to worry about things, and I have found that there's nothing that drives that out of your life more than a revelation of God's love for us. You know, when you get to being getting anxious about things and you worry, you know, sometimes I worry about what's the future going to look like. You know, I worry about my kids. I worry about money or whatever it is that we might worry about. I believe that the love of God, the revelation of the love of God, that he's that Father that knows every hair on your head. He knows you in detail. He really does care about you, and he's really got a plan for you. And if we meditate on that, and let that really get deep in our hearts, I believe it's the answer to driving out fear and worry and anxiety. This is what Isaiah said. See, I have prophesying. God speaking through Isaiah said, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." And Zechariah, he calls us. He says, "He, God speaking through Zechariah says, he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." Romans chapter 8, probably my favorite whole chapter in the Bible, just packed full of good stuff. In Romans 8:31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" A few verses later, it says, in verse 37, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I encourage you, take time regularly in your life to soak in God's love, just to be still before him, be still and know that he is God, and just even what I've done is do like a study and just and make a list of these verses that talk about God's love, talk about his goodness and his mercy, his faithfulness, and just meditate on those and just be still before him and just let it soak into your heart. If you would turn with me to Ephesians 3. Point number 3 is God in his wisdom. I love the letters of Paul. It just gets so deep that you can just read it and be like, what in name of goodness is he talking about? But I love whenever you just keep reading it over and over and over, and prayerfully reading through it and asking God to open your eyes, and then you get at least a little bit of an understanding of what he's saying, and it's such deep, powerful revelation. We'll read a few verses here. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. It says, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you." We're talking about God in his wisdom. And it talks here about verse 9, the mystery. The mystery was hidden until Jesus came, and now it has been revealed. What was that mystery? It was that he came to to bring Jews and Gentiles alike into his kingdom. And now that it has been revealed, verse 10 talks about the manifold or the intricate and complex wisdom of God. And what is that wisdom of God? It's being displayed by or through the church. That's you and that's me. He's displaying his wisdom for all of the principalities and powers to see the wisdom of God displayed through you and through me, the church of Jews and Gentiles alike, and he's using us to spread his kingdom. And verse 11 says, it's according to his eternal purpose. So how's the wisdom of God being known? It's been known by or through the church, according to the eternal purpose. And Paul says, therefore, do not lose heart. What does this really mean? He's actually showing off his wisdom by using people like me and people like you to spread his kingdom across the earth. That's the wisdom of God. For ages past, the principalities and powers, angels or demons, they couldn't figure out, how's God going to pull this thing off? What is this mystery? What is God up to? What's his plan? And then God sent Jesus. He brought the church together, Jew and Gentile, and then he chose to use us, to partner with us, to come and live in us by his Holy Spirit, and then spread the kingdom across the earth by using people like me and you. That is the wisdom of God. The angels and the demons, Satan himself could not have ever guessed that God would do something as crazy as use people like me and you to bring us all together in this thing that we call the church and then spread the kingdom through the earth using people like me and you. That's the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God. And he goes on to say a few verses later in that same chapter, so now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So he's got a plan. God in his wisdom, he's got a plan. He's making you like him. He's bringing you as we go from glory to glory. We're becoming in the image of God. He's making you like him to represent him well on the earth. He's living on the inside of you to partner with you in releasing his kingdom on earth. And he's returning soon to finish the job, to finish off Satan, to bring the kingdom in its fullness, his dominion in its fullness, and to cast Satan into the pit. And so in my life, I think many of us deal with this. I feel like God has called me, as many of you feel like God has put a call in on your life. I've had even prophecies over my life, and I'm sure many of you here at Liberty have had prophecies over your life. And even in my life, I've had like the same prophet say something one time, and then a few months later, the same prophet, another different prophet of the Lord, speak the exact same thing, and it's like there's no way those two people could have known that. But yet I still find myself in this place of wondering, how could God use me? You know, that little old me syndrome of, you know, how could God use somebody like me? And I know there's probably some of you in this room that feel the same way, but we look at the wisdom of God, and we look to his word. And this is what it says. It says in Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 10, let us therefore hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's so wise, and he's got a plan, and he's not sitting in heaven stressed out about how he's going to accomplish things on the earth. And he's not stressing out when you mess up, or, you know, he's not thinking, oh, I made the wrong choice when I called him to be a preacher or to be a worship leader or to be a school teacher or to be a doctor or whatever your calling is in life. God's not regretting that. He's got things figured out. He who promised is faithful, and he is going to come back. He's going to bring the fullness of his kingdom, and he's going to finish off Satan for once and for all. So just in summary, and I just ask Ricky come up and just get ready just to lead us into some ministry time at the end here. So wherever you're at in life this morning or this afternoon, so whatever your job is, whatever your family situation is, whatever it is that you are struggling with, I just encourage you to get a fresh perspective on who God is, a fresh view of who God is and how much that he loves you and how much that he's got a plan for you. And just on a practical note, 3 points here. One, meditate on his greatness and confess who he is. Two, soak in his love and his faithfulness towards you. And three, grow in thanksgiving for his perfect ways and his perfect plan, and that you get to be a part of it, that he's chosen you.